Got a few things to update you on, mainly regarding Lent. We have started emailing out the Lenten audio daily devotion. I've heard from a lot of people they're getting that, kind of like it, so that's good. It's also available every day on our website, the Vine Street Christian Church website. It's updated every day. And, you know, I've just got to thank Heather Wenke, who I've kind of given her another full-time job in between all the other stuff during Lent to post those for me. So I'll try to get them to you before midnight next time. Today at 1:30, we have our first Eberhard Village Lenten service. We're going to worship there every Sunday through Easter, including Easter. And today's the first one, and I think there's a lot of excitement about it. Everyone's invited to come, and I think everyone who's helping out today now knows from the text we sent out. But if you're out and about, it's just a great thing to show up and show your love and affection for those folks, really part of our family. And we're getting closer and closer to them, too. So that's 1:30 today. 6 o'clock tonight is the PRC book study. The title of the book study is The Answer to the Question We Have of Jesus, Who Should We Love and When?
Everybody, always.
Everybody, always. That's right. That's all. Just like he did. So we look forward to you coming to that. And now our new Lenten study on Wednesday nights at 6:30 will be a spinoff of that book. We're going to call it Becoming Love, and it'll be a video-based discussion group with the author of that book each night having a 15-minute or so video, and that leads us into discussion. So that's 6:30 Wednesday night during Lent. A couple other reminders. We're going to be updating the prayer room probably in the next week or so. So it's if you've got anything in there you want to keep, just let us know and we can move it for you or not, or take it. But we're going to be doing that soon. Right after Easter, we're going to be starting a transportation ministry to and from Eberhard Village for all of our friends out there. If you're willing to participate in that, it might be just going one way once every 6 weeks. Like you pick up once every 6 weeks if we get enough people going. So put that on your heart and pray about that. And we're also going to be remodeling this space right here, this wall, with a Faces of Jesus collage. And if you're interested in working on that, let us know. The centerpiece will be our portrait of Jesus that we'll put back in the sanctuary. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right. Any questions? Except for Jerry? Okay. We good?
Yep, I think we're
good. Uh-oh. See if I can keep my voice. I know what you're thinking, or not. Spirit. Well, I love that story Kevin told about being able to hear two ladies, friends, sisters in Christ, sitting together during the day, reading scripture to each other and talking about it. I mean, that is a Jesus-driven lifestyle. I mean, that is a lifestyle immersed in God. That's something, and Kevin said he just loved it. He was captivated. Yeah. Hey, we could do that too, right? Every day I'll come down, and we'll just read a little scripture. I mean, that's kind of the lifestyle God is looking for from us, that kind of commitment and dedication. Whatever it might be for you, that deeper level of making God a significant part of your life each and every day. Being intentional about that. Making a commitment. And that's what Lent provides the opportunity to do. I don't know how you've been doing the last year. A lot of things have been going on. I know you've been busy. A lot of things on your heart. You've gone through a lot of ups and downs. But today is a day that you can restart. Today is a day you can tell God, I'm here for you, God. I want you to show me the things in my life that are holding me back from you, things I've accumulated that aren't doing me any good in my relationship with you, things I need to let go of, or maybe even things I need to begin to do. Ask God to show you those things sincerely, and he will. And those things can become your Lenten journey, doing those things, continuing to ask and responding to what God is showing you. That's your Lenten journey. Because you see, the whole idea of Lent is to get from today to Easter with space cleared out from inside of you so that you can receive the new spirit of resurrection that God already has planned for you. The problem for us is we're all filled up. We got a lot of other things going on in our lives and inside us and just can't handle anything else. We've got to release. We've got to let go. We've got to surrender. Create space for God to work in our lives. So I want to think of today as a decision Sunday. I mean, each and every one of you, it's your choice. No one can force you into this. No one can impose it. God will not do that. He loves you too much to make you into a God-loving robot. He wants a God-loving soul that has made a free choice to dedicate his or her life to God. That's what God wants. That's actually why God created you. So I wonder where your relationship with God is right now. That's strictly between you and God. A lot of us who are churchgoers, read scripture, come to classes, feel like we have a pretty good relationship with God. For Christians, it's primarily through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our pathway to relate to God, emboldened by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. That's how that works. Now, how close to Jesus do you think you are today? I mean, are you as wide as a beach ball, maybe, this close? Or a football? Or a baseball? Or a golf ball? How close is your relationship with Jesus? Because you see, those who practice religion can build their faith and make it stronger and move closer and closer to God in a personal, intimate relationship because you're doing intentional things to strengthen your relationship with God. That's between you and God. But there's one more thing that's needed to get you here. And this is where God wants you. See how you're in the grip of God? See that? To get there? And you've got to open up the door and let God come right into your heart. And that's where a lot of people stop. Because that means that God will now lead your life. That Jesus will now be your Lord. You won't be your own Lord. Jesus will be your Lord. God will lead your life. And that's a hard step for all of us. That's scary. It takes away our sense of control and security. It almost always means, I don't know if I should say this word in church or not. What do you think? Change. It almost always means change. Are you willing to do that this Lent? Where are you? God sent Jesus Christ to have this kind of relationship. Right here. Each and every day. And maybe this is the Lent that we can achieve that. What about if a whole church did that? And by Easter, we rose again as a brand new community of faith, filled with the Spirit of resurrection. You think you're ready to make that decision? Well, I didn't tell you this 8 weeks ago, but we've been looking at foundational Bible stories, right? Foundational Bible stories. To kind of prepare you for whether you're ready not just to know about God, but ready to experience God. Sean, the question is, should I stay or should I go? Are you willing to go with Jesus this Lent? Are you committed to do that? There's a great song by a group called The Clash that I was going to play for this, but I'm kind of glad I didn't now. But you can look it up. Should I stay or should I go? So let's look at those stories real quick. We're going to go through this rapid fire of what we've learned in the last 8 weeks, those six stories. The first one, see if you know what that is. Matthew, take it. That's right.
By giving the truth to the Pharisee and the
Amen. So much for that sermon. How about that? That's why Jesus says we must become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of God. Because that was straight from the heart. And she wasn't worrying about what all that would mean if we actually did it. She just knew that we're called to do it. Matthew 25 has this scripture. Remember this one, John? Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Jesus isn't so much worried about whether we look like Jesus or not. He wants us to see Jesus in everyone we encounter and treat them like we would encounter Jesus. Are you up for that? Is that something you can not just not know about, but experience in your daily life? Are you willing to intentionally do that so that every person you meet each day is just another form of Jesus Christ in your life and you love them and help them just as you would him? That's what that scripture's about. Well, we went from Matthew 25 to one of those guys that starts with a J, right? Jonah. Anybody want to share a little quick vignette what that was about? Annabelle. Annabelle, we've only got a half hour, but go ahead. Okay. Exactly. Nineveh. That's right. Wow. Love this kind of open-ended service we have where people can just... So Jonah's deal was he thought his own will was more important than even God's will. And he didn't want the Ninevites to see God and to take God into their heart and have God in their life. So he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Remember? And God asked, I think the next slide's got this. The generosity of God displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he slashed with angry prayer at the graciousness of the Almighty. I told you so, he screamed. I knew what you would do, you dirty forgiver. You bless your enemies and show kindness to those who despitefully use you. And then he said, I would rather die than live in a world with a God like you. And don't try to forgive me either. You know, some people just don't want to live like Jesus. They just want to own Jesus and make him in their own image so that they know who to like and who to hate. And God has come so that all may be loved. And he calls groups of people, they're called followers of Jesus, to carry out that mission in the world, to love everyone unconditionally. You ready to do that? Not just learn about Jonah, not just know the story. Are you ready to carry out the mission that story's about? To go anywhere God might call you to bring the word of God. It's part of your decision-making process. Well, we went from there to, oh yeah, I wonder, this is just a clue. Who's here in this picture? Jesus and? Nope, not yet. Not yet. Nope, not yet. Nope. Nope. Jesus was encountered one night, late at night, by a Jewish Pharisee who wanted to know more about the kingdom of God. Under the dark of night, he came to Jesus. Remember, Jesus told him, you must be born from above to enter the kingdom of God. Who was that? Nicodemus. That's right. Well, Nicodemus, all right? So what's this about? This is about this great verse that is called John 3:16. After Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born from above to see the kingdom of God, and Nicodemus tried to get his head around all that in a literal way, Jesus told him why. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And then my favorite verse, 17. Don't ever forget 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the whole world, everybody. John 3:16 is not an exclusionary message to carve people out from Jesus. It's an inclusionary message to bring the whole world into Jesus Christ. You ready to do that? You ready to commit to that? Part of your decision today. Well, we kept going. Oh, the other man named Job, that's right. Not Job, Ed. It's Job, right? Job, you want to share? Bring it. Come on up so we can hear you. Yeah. Yes, sir. And then God gave it all back. How about that? All right. So, Job, what do I have up there? Oh, yeah. Do you keep your faith in God no matter what you're going through? When times are the toughest, are you rock solid in your faith like Job was? Never bought into the argument that God must be punishing him because things aren't going his way. He kept his faith in a good God. I know that my Redeemer lives, he said, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. It's like that song we sang this morning, right? Our God can stand up to anything. If you keep your faith in him, he'll keep bringing blessings into your life, even through the toughest things. We know we have people in this congregation today who have been Jobs to us, right? Through the toughest of times, they have kept their faith. They're rock solid. They keep coming. They keep testifying. They keep sharing. For all they've been through, that's their relationship with God. That's their Job relationship. All right, after Job, you all remember these, right? Hey, who is this? Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, right? One of the men from Jericho. We're getting close to finishing up now. Bartimaeus, right? And Bartimaeus was blind with his eyesight, but he also wanted some other kind of sight too. So when he yelled out to Jesus and Jesus called him to him, Jesus asked him that great question, what do you want me to do for you? On this first Sunday of Lent, this is an important question for you. As you begin to go on your own journey through the wilderness with Jesus, culminating in Good Friday at the cross and Easter at the empty tomb, Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You have to tell him. Like one of our daily devotions, right? Tell him. Be specific. Be bold. Don't pray in fear. Pray like you believe in miracles. Pray like you believe your God can do anything, that nothing's impossible for God. So Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, I want to see again. You know what? He saw Jesus for who he is. He got his eyesight back too. And he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He was healed and got his sight back. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus says. Finally, an easy one. Zacchaeus, right? You know, for a little short scripture verse that only appears in one gospel, a lot of people sure do know this story, Sandy. Wonder why that is. Because of the song, Zacchaeus. So this is a story that reminds us of this. It might be more about the crowd than Zacchaeus. Because if we flip one word around in the scripture, it changes the meaning entirely. First of all, why does this crowd hold him in contempt and despise him? Are they followers of Jesus? Wouldn't they pray for him? Wouldn't they be compassionate towards him? Wouldn't they try to help him? Wouldn't they love him unconditionally? Not according to scripture. But then, when Zacchaeus says this, go ahead. Oh, when Zacchaeus meets with Jesus and says this, I will give everybody back four times of what I have taken and half of anything that anybody tells me about. One version says I will. The other version says I do. So has he always been a saint? Or is he just becoming one right now? Here's the question. Should that matter to you? Should that matter to you the way you see Zacchaeus? When he's up in that tree, do you despise him, hate him, angry at him, resent him? How should you feel towards him? Love as if he's Jesus, just as if he's always been Jesus. Because we never really know what people are going through, do we? We never really know the full details of their story and what they're going through. All right. So those are the six stories we've covered in the last 8 weeks. You remember them? They all raise questions about your commitment to walk with Jesus. It's one thing to know those stories inside and out, to know the characters, the chapter and verse, what Jesus said, the lesson it teaches. That's one thing, right? It's quite another to live it, to actually do it, right? To make it part of your life. It's one thing to practice religion. Church, read the Bible, pray, do some service, teach a class. It's one thing to practice your religion, and it's good to do that. But all that should be leading towards something else. Experiencing God personally. Taking your relationship with God, which practicing religion can do, from here to experiencing God in your life through Jesus Christ. Here. Not just knowing the stories, but becoming willing to live them. For you to be a missionary for Jesus each and every day. For you to carry the lessons of those stories into real life, into the world out there. For you to be one who helps build the kingdom of God today and not just think about it, or read about it, or pray about it. For you to be an active participant in what God is doing in this world. For you to be in that picture. Because those are the folks who have given up whatever is holding them back and are willing to carry that cross. So I say, John, what do you think? What would it mean for you today to take your faith to the next level? To let God have more and more of your life. What would that mean? What would it look like? What would it sound like? What would it feel like for you on this first Sunday of Lent to say, you know what? I've gone through some Lents in my life, and I've gone through some Good Fridays, and I've gone through some Easter Sundays, but this time it's going to be different. There's not going to be anyone that's like this time. This time, it's going to mean more for me. This time, I'm a pilgrim following Jesus, and I'm going to stay with him all through Lent so that I can rise with him on Easter morning. Pray about that. If I could, I would tell each one of you what that would look like for you. I don't know. I'm trying to work it out myself with God. But pray about it. Ask God. When Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Tell him, I want to be united with you in my life. I want to be one with you. I want to walk with you everywhere you go. I want to grab onto your ankles and never let go of them. Wherever you go, I go. Wherever I go, you go. I want that life. I want abundant life, Jesus. I want an abundant life. I want more than what I have today. And I know you can give it to me. You're the only one. But it's a promise you made, and I'm ready to come and receive it. Would you do that today? Think you'd do that today? We've sent a message out. Some of you may have gotten it. We want to use shoes or sandals or slippers as a symbol to represent our walk with Jesus through Lent. And today, if you have them here, we're going to ask that you bring them or have someone bring them up to the communion table and lay them at the table right where they should be for this Lent journey that you're committing to. I brought, of course, the Easter high tops, which on Easter Sunday, I will put these on and rise again with Jesus. But until then, they're going to sit at the table, at the foot of the table. So, Ruth Ann, can you play a little something for us? And we're just going to give you a minute or two. Pray about it. Pray as you walk up. Leave something at the table or bring it later, whatever. And let's show God our intention to go on a Lenten journey this year, unlike any other. Holy God, let these outward signs of our commitment rest deep in our heart and soul so that we're absorbed into the truth of our commitment to you, that you know it because of our heart, not because of our shoes, but they'll remind us every time we see them and think about them that these 40 days are yours. We need your help. Show us what we lack. Show us what we need. Open us up and reveal, just as you already see us, the things that are holding us back. And lead us to the cross, Lord. Lead us to the cross where Jesus is waiting to take all the burdens, all the fears, all the worries up with him so that we're free.